What if the Sacramento Kings won the 2022 NBA draft lottery? Do they take Chet? Do they take Jabari? Do they trade the pick? There are so many options. It's a great problem to have. But one thing it's not is simple. And to talk through all the different options that would overwhelm Monty McNair and the Kings with number one overall, my friend from ESPN 1320, Damian Barling, joins me. We're going to talk a lot of scenarios, moving down in the draft, trading for a star, not being able to find a star worthy of number one overall realistically, drafting a player that's going to make that big of a difference that the Kings are looking for. It's all on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of your Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. Just wrapped up my eighth season covering Kings basketball. Currently work for ABC 10 News in Sacramento. And the offseason, especially before the draft lottery and the draft itself, that's the time for hypothetical scenarios. And rather than completely flood you with a thousand hypothetical scenarios that many of which we're going to go through, D'Lo and I are going to go through on today's Locked On Kings podcast, I like to pick and choose major ones that I know people would have an opinion on. So as much as you're going to hear D'Lo and I talk about scenarios, trade targets, what the Kings could do with number one overall, I want to hear from you what you would do if you were Monty McNair with the number one overall pick in this draft. You can send that to me at any time at Matt George Sack on Twitter. Email me mattgeorgesports@gmail.com or leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. But D'Lo and I had a lot of fun with this conversation. Also, my head hurt by the end of this conversation just with the amount of options that the Kings would have and really the amount of pressure that would be on Monty McNair to absolute, like, there's no way, you can't not get this right. We thought Vlade failing with the number two overall pick in the 2018 draft was significant. If Monty McNair somehow botches trading or drafting a player with number one overall in this year's draft, he might as well kiss not just his career in Sacramento goodbye, but maybe his general manager career, period, goodbye after just one stop. D'Lo and I had, again, a lot of fun with this conversation. I think you will as well. Hope you enjoy on today's Locked On Kings podcast. I think we all agree the Sacramento Kings need a little bit of luck. And what more luck could they get than having a top draft pick fall in their laps? Not that that didn't happen just a few years ago in 2018, and we know what the Kings were able to do with number two overall. The problem is it was number two. It wasn't number one. Had Vlade had number one, hey, we all know he would have made the better decision, right, D'Lo? Damian Barling.
No one had messed it up.
ESPN 1320's Damian Barling, the D'Lo and D'Lo and KC, back with me here on Locked On Kings. We're going to have a little fun with the hypothetical of what if the Sacramento Kings win the lottery, Monty McNair gets his hands on the number one overall pick, because in years past, maybe in like a Zion draft, it's obvious what most teams would do with that spot. But with the situation that the Kings are in, trying to improve their team and add to their team right now to make the jump they're looking to make into the playoffs next year, trying to add to a Fox and Sabonis core, a very different position than most number one overall teams who are looking to kind of restart and add a young star to build around. So D'Lo, I genuinely wonder what Monty McNair would consider. He'd probably consider all moves, but what he would be most intrigued by with the possibility of winning this number one overall pick.
Yeah, it's something I've tried to figure out as we get closer, you know, to the lottery, and you know, obviously as we get closer to the lottery, we get closer to the actual draft, and you know, you read through these different mock drafts and different people's opinions on, you know, the players at the top, and the players are mostly the same, right? In some form of, you know, in some form or fashion, the order, you know, no matter the order, it's Chet, it's Paolo. Jabari's usually up there. Like you might see Jaden Ivey. Like I've, what I can't figure out is like, Are we sure who the top three picks are? Are we sure who the top four picks are? And are those top four picks like game changers, right? Just absolute game changers. And then how you grade those out? Like, this is a scenario we've gone over a couple of times where if you're Monty McNair, because we often talk about, you know, I don't know that a draft pick is really the big thing that this Sacramento Kings team needs. Maybe you package that draft pick with Rashawn, expiring contracts, you send it somewhere else. And it's always with, let's get into the top four or the top three. It's like, okay, run with that. That's the hypothetical here. We're getting all the way to number one. I see Chet Holmgren's name brought up all of the time as number one. It's like, okay, I watched Chet a little bit at Gonzaga. Like, I'm not going to pretend to be a film nerd on Chet Holmgren. People seem to like him. James Hamm really likes him. Isn't he a center?
7-footer.
Yeah, we got that, right? Don't we have that locked down? Okay. All right. No problem. You got Paolo there. You got Jabari there. You got potential forwards. All right. I like it. What's the grade on those two? Because that's where, you know, that's where we start to, that's like the best available versus fit conversation.
Yep.
My thing is always, if you know, you grade these players out, and we'll you know, go 1 to 10. You grade these players out, and your best available player is an 8.5. You graded that player out, not as it pertains to your team, but just as a player, you graded that player out as an 8.5. And the best available is graded out as an 8. In that situation, to me, or best fit, excuse me, best available player, 8.5. Best fit is an 8. In that situation, to me, you take the fit, you take the 8, because the discrepancy in grade isn't big enough. Mm. Now, if it's an 8.5 to 7 or a 6.5, then maybe that's different. Is Chet the consensus number one overall pick? Can one of these forwards be the number one pick? Are any of these top three or four game changers, like legitimate game changers? If they're not, is there a game changer out there on a team that desperately wants to get younger and trade for the top pick in the draft?
The best fit versus best overall talent conversation we have every single year with the Kings being in the lottery every single year.
Yeah.
But I think the reason why we have it so much and we've had it so much is that the Kings haven't had number one overall. And what I mean by that is, I don't know if you have that conversation when you have the number one overall pick, because in Monty McNair's scenario there, if the best available isn't the best fit, then you know the number one overall pick is going to have significant trade value. Maybe you're not going to get specifically what you're looking for or the ideal. Like, you're not necessarily going to always get a star for number one overall, like some people believe you automatically get those offers, like it's a game of NBA 2K. But I don't think McNair necessarily would have to worry too much about best fit versus best overall talent with number one overall, because I think he's going to have more than enough trade options at that point. I don't know what those options are, and we can talk about hypothetically what we feel number one overall is worth in the NBA at this point in time, what the Kings could get for it. But I at that point, it's hard to imagine losing with best fit or best overall talent at that number one spot, especially in a draft that doesn't have a consensus number one overall pick, like I believe this one does. Like, I've seen Chet's name at the top like you have, but in talking to draft experts, it's not Chet and then everybody else.
Yeah.
It's Chet amongst, like you said, four names that, depending upon what team and what draft workout, it could be different on draft night, which to me makes it a more exciting draft overall.
Sure. I completely get your point. I wonder, with the way that you just laid this out about that consensus not being there, doesn't that in and of itself devalue the number one overall pick? Like, if it was Zion, wouldn't the value of trading that pick be greater? If it was, any other number one overall pick that, you know, this is a number one overall pick, this is a guy, you can't trade this guy, you can't pass on this guy, it doesn't that increase the value of any potential trade offers?
Yes, if that player that we know is consensus number one overall is so good that so many teams are transfixed by him, by it. But I also could see, and this is kind of Monty having to play his cards and play the value a little bit. I could see a number one overall pick in a draft like this having value in the sense that maybe multiple teams are interested in the same guy or two around that spot, and they're concerned that at three or at four, that guy might not be there. Like maybe there are two teams that are at around three or four that are in love with Jabari Smith and think, oh, he could fall to me. He could be there, but man, this is the guy I really, really want. And Houston's picking in front of me, and he makes a lot of sense for them. I'm just using Houston as an example. Sure, I don't know. Like, oh my God, I'm going to panic, make a move to try and move up so that I know I can get that guy or get my guy. I wonder if that's the way you can play value. But to your point, I think, yes, no, it does have more value if it's like a Zion or a proven, if it's LeBron James on there. Like,
no, that's a great point. Like we talk about trading players out, you know, or trading out of that draft spot, and you're like, I don't know what player lands you, like what player you trade for with the number one overall pick in the draft. Like, I don't know who that is. I have no clue. It's a player that we don't know is available. Right. It's a player that's really good, that has no idea they're about to be traded. That's who that number one pick is for. But I think you make a great point in, you know, referencing like potentially in Orlando, like I've got to move up, right? Like if Sacramento was number one, or Houston's number two, Orlando's number three, Orlando's like, I got to make sure I get my guy. I have to move up two slots. I have to trade with Sacramento. That creates an interesting I love the situation that creates, because then you've got a team that needs you, right? You've got a team that's desperate, and you can tell them, oh yeah, you're interested in that Jabari kid. Yeah, me too. Me too. I heard Houston was too. Like, I don't know, man. You're Monty McNair. You look at the draft board. Yeah, I like Jabari. I like this Jaden Ivey kid too. Okay. I really like this Pancaro kid. Like, we do a little switch here. With that, you're able to probably acquire, you know, a player from their roster that you like, another first round pick next year. It's a game of how bad do you want it? Like, how much do you need this guy on your roster? How worried are you that the team in front of you is going to take him? It creates great leverage within the draft. But again, it's one of those situations where things. You said it at the top of this conversation. Kings are going to need some luck in that, right? You're going to need someone to be enamored with a player, and then you're going to have to make that team believe that you're enamored with that same player, and that perhaps that a team between you is also enamored with that player. Like, it's a, you know, draft season is lion season. We've been watching it in the NFL for the last week. All of these stories about who's going to be drafted and who's going to be traded and all these different things are going to be done. You always hear these stories around draft time, but that's an interesting scenario. I like that one.
Planning for this conversation. That's
the most return, by the way.
It could.
A team that really wants a player in this draft who already has a high pick, like we'll say someone else within in the top five, that could net you a pretty good return right there.
Quick pause here as I tell you about a great sponsor of the Locked On Kings podcast, a relatively new sponsor of Locked On Kings, and that's Shady Rays, an independent sunglass company that gives you the features of a $200 pair of sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened, no questions asked. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, this is cool. 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays. Exclusively for Locked On Kings listeners, if you head to ShadyRays.com and use promo code Locked On, you'll get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's promo code Locked On for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses, backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. Planning for this conversation, I was thinking about the possibility of trading the number one overall pick. And when I thought about it on the surface level, I was like, oh, that's easy. Like, of course there are going to be 29 NBA teams that want to trade number one overall. And then the more I thought about it, I kind of came to the same consensus that you were saying a little bit earlier. Like, what do you trade number one overall for? I think it's more difficult to trade that pick than it is to acquire that pick almost, because McNair can't trade number one overall for John Collins, right?
That's not enough.
If John Collins has a good chance of being better than the number one overall pick in this draft, he's more proven than number one overall pick. It's like James Hamm says all the time, like, until you make a selection, the number one overall pick has as much value as, like, it's skyrocketed value. And as soon as you make a selection, even if it is a Chet or a Zion or whoever it is, that value immediately goes down because it's the unknown. It's also the power and the prestige of, I get to open the draft and get whoever I want. So if Monty McNair does look to trade that pick, what is out there? Like, what realistically can he get that he doesn't get probably flamed for?
Yeah, again, it's a player that we probably don't know is available. Like, because you're right, John Collins is the name that comes to everybody's mind because one, we think he fits here. Two, we're pretty confident he's going to be very, very available this offseason, which in my mind, and we were talking about this on the Thursday edition of D'Lo and KC, that almost devalues John Collins a little bit because everybody knows Atlanta season was disappointing. There's already like infighting in the group. Someone has viciously turned heel. Someone within the organization has already turned heel on Nate McMillan a year after signing that contract. And it's okay. You guys made a run without Collins. We know he's the odd man out. And we put together these little ideas of what would you offer for John Collins? Yesterday's price isn't today's price. Like, you need us. We like John Collins. We want John Collins. We know there are some other teams that probably like John Collins too. But here's the fact of the matter. You need us. You need to get rid of money and improve your roster somehow. You know John Collins isn't it for you. Here's what we'll do. We'll send, I don't love this, but we'll send Harrison Barnes' expiring contract to you, along with Alex Lynn's expiring contract. And maybe one other person that I'm not thinking of. They're expiring. What was that? Oh, no. Can't have our draft pick. Like, those are the conversations now. A number one overall pick? Oh, child, please.
Click. So hang up. Yeah, there's
one name that popped in my... It's an outrageous name, mind you. But it did... I'm wondering how this offseason goes. Anthony Davis.
Ooh.
Now, the way that the Lakers and Clutch and LeBron work, that's probably not realistic in any sense of the, imagination. It's not realistic. But if you're the Lakers and you're looking around like, is this going to work again? Because we're hoping we can trade Russell Westbrook. We're really hoping Russell Westbrook opts out. But even if he does, what exactly does that mean? Because we still have Anthony. Everyone will tell you, not everyone, a lot of people will tell you, it wasn't Russell Westbrook or the poor construction of the roster that kept the Los Angeles Lakers out of the playoffs. It was the fact that Anthony Davis couldn't stay healthy. But how many times have we uttered the phrase, Anthony Davis can't stay healthy? Or Anthony Davis wasn't healthy this year? Oh, or it's too bad Anthony Davis wasn't healthy. If there's someone else out there, Chet Holmgren, who could fill that position, be cheaper, open up some money on your books. I don't know. Maybe there's something there. Now, you can't flat out trade a number one, a draft pick for $100 million player or whatever. That you still have to throw in contracts. You still have to, get money in somewhere and kind of go from there. But
right.
I have no idea who that player would be. Again, it's someone we're not talking about, thinking about, have heard about. And even to a certain degree, there have been rumblings about Anthony Davis, though I don't think they're valid. I don't know who I have no idea who it could possibly be.
See, I'm thinking like tier or level of player, and a name that popped into my head immediately that also felt outlandish, but it actually doesn't work, is Bradley Beal. But Bradley Beal has a player option. That's not all going to be finalized before the draft itself, so that actually doesn't work. But if he was under contract, that's a situation where it's like, could number one overall get you in the conversation? The Wizards are probably listening. If nothing else, the Wizards are definitely listening.
The Wizards are doing it.
They're like, done.
The Wizards are doing it. It's the Kings that are like, yeah, we kind of need to sign you to a contract right now. Like, yeah, you got to opt out of this deal. And And again, that's not how this works, but you got to opt out of this deal, resign. You got to have these kind of wink, wink promises that you hope you don't get bit in the butt about. But again, that's another good name, but
is it like Paul George or Kawhi in LA? Is it?
I think they're running back. Like,
I think so too, but is it like Chris Middleton in Milwaukee? Like, I'm trying to think of tier of player.
So Chris Middleton is interesting because of his contract status. You just assume his contract comes up, you know, when he becomes extension eligible, he's just going to get an extension, especially if the Bucks win this year or the Bucks are in the finals. You don't want to break that up. Or what perhaps would be his greatest bargaining chip, if they lose to Boston. They lose to Boston because Chris Middleton isn't there. Man, that puts Chris Middleton in a good position. Yeah, that's certainly a tier for him. You know, that's certainly the type of player that you would probably look at. But again, no one's talking about moving on from Chris Middleton.
What about Utah? Is Donovan Mitchell, pairing him with Fox in the backcourt, is Donovan Mitchell enough to say worth trading number one overall?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you do it in a heartbeat.
I don't know if Utah does, but
Utah might not have a choice. We're almost certainly witnessing the end of this version of the Utah Jazz. All of these talks and rumors out there about Quinn Snyder, none of them have been shut down. Like, the Utah Jazz organization is like, this is ridiculous. What are you talking about? Look what Quinn Snyder's done for us. This is absurd. None of that has happened. I think when the series ends tonight, or if you're listening, no matter when you're listening to this, I'm confident the series has ended.
It's over.
Well, Quinn Snyder might have been fired by the time that you're listening this, or the Jazz and Quinn Snyder have mutually agreed to part ways. That's not the only thing that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I believe they're going to start with Rudy Gobert because for some reason, Rudy Gobert is like the most hated player in the league. Like, I can't figure it out. Like, he's taken the mantle from Austin Rivers and people just seem to really dislike this guy.
He got stung by a bee today or something.
His own bees don't like him. And so you've got that. Like, you, I don't know, man. It feels like that team is in it's in the beginning of a pretty big restructure. I think they're going to attempt to restructure around Donovan Mitchell. But Donovan Mitchell, and again, this might not mean anything, but Donovan Mitchell may very well go to them and go, F this, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Like, you could do whatever you want with Rudy Gobert. You fired my coach. Just get me out of here.
I mean, that's the power of the number one overall pick, though, in the sense that immediately it puts you into conversation for names that the Kings have no business being in the conversation with. Like, we were, if number one isn't a possibility, which it's like a 5% chance or something like that for the Kings, and maybe even less. It's like 3%, actually. So, like, the reality is this is probably not happening, but it is possible. We've seen crazier things before. If it doesn't happen, we're talking about the Kings landing John Collins as potentially like the biggest, best move that Monty McNair could pull off this offseason. If you get number one overall, John Collins becomes an afterthought. That's what's crazy about the number one overall pick. But again, it's a good problem to have. It's an overused cliche in sports, a good problem to have because it's still a problem. But I genuinely wonder how difficult it would be for McNair to find a realistic way to move that number one overall pick. I have a hard time believing anybody who gets number one overall in this draft, the top three teams with the best odds right now are all taking a player and saying, thank you very much. But I just don't know in any draft, let alone a draft like this, how it's possible to trade number one overall and to feel good about it right away. I just don't know if that exists or we've seen it before.
Yeah, I can't think of I'm sure they're out there. I can't think of when we saw it. You know, I feel like we see it in the NFL, you know, all of the time, but there are so many positions that you have to fill. There are so many, there's so many different things that you have to do. You see a lot of movement in the NFL draft. You see, if you have a franchise quarterback who was hurt, you see a lot of movement at the top of the NFL draft. I don't feel like you see that very often in the NBA draft. And a lot of that has to do with, in my opinion. A lot of that has to do with like salary structure. You know, part of the Tyrese Halliburton thing for Indiana, you know, the De'Aaron and Tyrese, like, well, an Indiana Pacers that's trading Domantas Sabonis, that's looking to kind of rebuild and start over. They don't want to rebuild with a player that's got $140 million coming their way. They want to rebuild with a player on a rookie deal. And that's part of the appeal of being at the top of the draft. Mm-hmm. If you're confident in those top three or four picks, you hold on to them because you know they could be really, really good. And if they're going to be inexpensive. They're going to be inexpensive for, you know, the first 4 years, and they're going to be a little bit more expensive after that. But it's not until the third contract where it gets like super, you know, super, super expensive. And at that point, if you're talking to the third year, if you're in the third contract, talking to a player you're drafted in, you know, 2022, you're very happy with what, obviously everybody is happy with where you're at. So I think the salary structure has a lot to do with it as well. You know, John Collins is the thing. That's, again, you're willingly taking on $100 million or whatever is owed to him. Anthony Davis, Bradley Beal, phenomenal player. You're willingly taking on that money. Donovan Mitchell, in the Donovan Mitchell example, not only are you taking that money, I can't be the only one who's worried about De'Aaron Fox and Donovan Mitchell together in the backcourt. Mm-hmm. And in this situation, De'Aaron ain't winning that battle.
Absolutely not. It's an easy choice.
Like if it comes down to Donovan versus De'Aaron, like, yeah, hey, welcome our new core. It's Davion Mitchell and Domantas Sabonis. You want all of that stuff to work. But I think if you get lucky enough to get the number one overall pick or to get into those top, you know, three, four, yeah, you take advantage of that contract. You take advantage of the fact you could wind up getting a really good player and on a really good contract, on a really easy contract. And you hope you get some dude, you know, we're prisoners of the moment. We've been talking about this all year, but I mean, it's top of the mind right now. You need someone with that Anthony Edwards vibe. Carl Anthony Towns is a good ball player. Anthony Edwards is the future of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And if for some reason, some sort of, you know, you don't want stuff like this as a basketball fan, but if Anthony Edwards versus Carl Anthony Towns thing erupts in Minnesota, Cat loses.
Yeah.
Is Anthony Edwards brings something, and you hope they work together because Anthony Edwards brings something that Carl Anthony Towns does not have. And it works well with that team. And Anthony Edwards has a, you know, it's like a toned down Jimmy Butler vibe, which is why I think Carl Anthony Towns can handle it. And he's really, really good. Mm. You hope that you can get a player in your door that has that vibe, that has that, I'm going to step on the floor and be the best player on this team right now.
Today's Locked On Kings podcast also brought to you by Built Bars. What is the best part about Built Bars? They're both healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for your health. With Built Bar, you can have the best of both, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to built.com and order your box of Built Bars right now. And have you tried the Built Puffs yet? We're going crazy for the puffs. My wife and I love these things. The first ever protein-infused marshmallow. Yeah, that's a legitimate thing. The Built Puffs are just that, 140 calories. Sign me up with so many great flavors. Built Bar makes sure that there's something for everyone with their wide variety of flavors for both their puffs and their bars. Most of their bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Whatever you get, go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. The fear that I have with drafting a player, regardless of whatever spot the Kings are in, the odds get a lot better when you're picking number one versus number seven, where the Kings are most likely to end up. But The fear is, going back to kind of what I mentioned at the very beginning of our conversation, like, the Kings are looking this offseason to add a piece to this Fox and Sabonis core that is like, yes, there is that third guy, there is that fit, that is a difference maker for this team to actually make a legitimate jump and be in the playoff picture. I think Sabonis and Fox, on the surface, they're enough to begin the conversation, but I think we'd all agree McNair would love to add a piece or two to really firmly put them in the conversation. I always question having that guy come out of the draft. I mean, every once in a while, you'll get the Lucas, you'll get the LeBrons, you'll get guys that come in from day one are just absolute stars and are ready for that spot. But the reality is the majority of picks, whether they're number one overall or number 60, like Isaiah Thomas, like those guys, that typically does not happen. So I'm genuinely concerned, D'Lo, about this is why I honestly think regardless of where the Kings end up, this pick is more likely to move than anything else. Having the expectation for any player, number one overall or otherwise, at 19, 20, 21 years old, coming into the NBA, expecting to make that big of an impact, even if it's just as a third option on a struggling NBA team like the Kings are, I just think that's a lot to ask anybody at this point.
Which is why, if you're Monty McNair, you probably have to do both in this situation. I think if you're 7-8, where we expect the Kings to be, if you can package that pick to acquire something, you know, that's the John Collins trade, right? That's the stuff there. Great. If you're able to get into the top three, it's like, all right, this is something, or top four.
Yeah.
This was something we didn't expect. So this is an added piece to what we're doing this offseason. We have to continue to explore these other options, whether those other options are John Collins or some other, you know, player out there, that four, or maybe the four is drafted. So now we focus on the two, who you know, whichever the focus winds up being, it's not a one or the other. You've got to improve this team. Like, this team needs more talent. So top four would be, yo, this is a talent we weren't expecting. We lucked into it, as Matt George said here at the top. We lucked into it. We fell into it. Great. Cool. Okay, we've got that in our back pocket. We know we're not trading the pick, but we still have other valuable assets to team, especially one, and I'm just going to stick with John Collins, especially for a team like Atlanta, who needs to get off money, who is kind of over this John Collins thing, who probably only signed him with the idea of we're going to trade him later anyways, in the back of their mind when they signed that contract. And let's go talk to them and see what we could do from them. And now all of a sudden we've added this pick. We've added another layer of talent that we weren't prepared, that we didn't expect. And now in October, we have a better basketball team.
That's where I wonder, in going back to the hypothetical scenario of the Kings winning the lottery and getting number one overall, that's where I wonder if trading down is the best route. Like, could you call OKC and say, hey, you guys really want Chet. You guys really want Jabari. You're looking for that difference maker. Hey, you have two first round picks. Could we get both of them? And that doesn't necessarily make sense for the Kings in my mind. I don't know if OKC does this, but you can certainly ask, hey, you want number one overall? We'll take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and number 12 or whatever that other pick that you have. That's, you can start to make that request. Suddenly, you still have a first round pick that you can take a player that hopefully helps the team, and you get that third star. And Shai's that example, maybe Shai is the guy. Yeah, he is the guy.
Right there, yeah.
And
yeah.
Suddenly you got your number one to add Fox and Sabonis to.
Right. It's like, the pick that's the added bonus in that conversation. You get, say, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's the pick that's the added bonus. And I love that idea of trading down, because I think trading down, you don't lose draft assets. You, in almost all certainty, you acquire them. And then if you can get now talent, which you still need, That's a big bonus. I mean, Houston, I think the Christian Wood question is still out there. Like, could he be a fit here? Would he work in the Sacramento situation? I love the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander idea. I don't know what Oklahoma City's doing. Like, I don't know if their plan is to build. I have no idea what their ideas are with him in the future. But I think trading down does make a ton of sense because of the problems we outlined earlier, where it's like, okay, what player are you trading him for then? What player are you trading that pick for? Because you can't miss on that either. Just like if you make the selection, you can't miss. Right. If you make a trade, you really can't miss.
This is less of a conversation or an idea for the Kings. We'll keep it in the Kings realm, but this is any question to ask of whoever gets number one overall. The New Orleans Pelicans have the best odds at number 8 from, which is the Lakers pick. Does number one get you in the conversation for Zion? Like, do the Kings consider moving down to eight and taking a Zion or Brandon Ingram? Like, is that even possible?
So there's, in my opinion, there is zero chance New Orleans entertains anything that involves Brandon Ingram.
I agree with you 100%. That's why I said Zion first.
Yeah, I don't think the same is true for Zion. I think at the very least, they'll take the call. They'll have a conversation. You know, Zion is such a, he's such a odd unknown in the sense of he's essentially like, did he miss the entire season? Like, I think he missed the entire year.
And it took him till like last month to dunk, apparently.
He's dunking and he's, you know, warming up in front of fans and all of these different things. But when he plays, and he's like 27 points per game. Like, he's, when he plays, he's a bad dude.
And he was hitting threes too. People forget he was hitting threes.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd really have to examine the, you know, the fit. I mean, again, I that's a tough one. Yeah. That's a tough Ingram in a heartbeat, but New Orleans is like, no, we're bye. Don't call me again. Like, ever. That's dumb. But Zion is, I think Zion is a sneaky, interesting figure to watch this offseason. Because there's enough stuff coming out of New Orleans to believe it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, at the very least, there's something. How big is it? I don't know. But there's something there. I think he's an intriguing player to watch this offseason.
I don't think it's a route that the Kings would take that makes too much sense for the Kings. But hey, OKC wins the lottery, Orlando wins the lottery, Detroit wins the lottery. Like, maybe that's something that they entertain, and maybe that phone call is had at some point. But all these hypothetical scenarios that we're going through in 30 minutes, D'Lo, maybe this is why it takes so damn long and takes every second of the draft clock for these teams to make these decisions. I have maybe a little more respect for general managers and the job they do on draft night at this point, even though Shams gets it with 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, two minutes left on the three picks before.
Good point.
Yeah, like these are all tough. I mean, you feel like things will settle in a couple of weeks when the lottery is done and you know exactly where you're drafting. And then, you know, conversations can start that day. Hey, we have a certain player on our big board. You know, hey, what are you thinking about doing with that pick? And you start having those conversations and kind of seeing what happens. But yeah, being a GM is significantly harder than putting a couple of names in a trade machine and then hitting submit and seeing if it works.
Don't tell Twitter that. Twitter will always overcome, because NBA 2K has a trade machine themselves and it makes it easy based off of a star rating. So you never know what you can get when De'Aaron Fox, you turn him into a 5-star player in one season on rookie mode. But D'Lo, I appreciate you. These are fun hypotheticals that I want to continue to have over the course of the season. We'll definitely have you back on. And these are conversations that I know you and your partner KC like to have on D'Lo and KC Monday through Friday, noon to 4 o'clock. You guys are having a bunch of conversations right now. You actually had a recent conversation with your producer Jesse that inspired me to have Jesse make his debut on Locked On Kings next week.
Oh, very nice.
We're going to talk about the possibility of the Kings going after Victor Oladipo in free agency this offseason, because it intrigued the hell out of me. And you brought up, if we're going to talk about Victor Oladipo, you got to talk about DeMarcus Cousins too. And I know that'll get some reaction.
The same, I mean, obviously you could talk about it with Sacramento, but if everybody, like, I think it was Woj, Victor Oladipo, I think he's on Woj's podcast or Shams, one of them. He's on one of their podcasts. The resurgence of Victor Oladipo. Oh, really? Okay. He played like twice.
I feel like we've heard that three times.
That's fine. Hey, that's fine. I like Victor Oladipo. If we're doing that, let's do it with DeMarcus Cousins, who did a fantastic job of backing up the soon-to-be league's back-to-back MVP.
Huge thank you to D'Lo for joining me here on Locked On Kings today. I had a lot of fun with this hypothetical conversation. Again, now we want to hear from you. What do you think Monty McNair would do or should do with the number one overall pick if the Kings were to win the draft lottery here coming up in just a little bit. Let me know at Matt George Sack on Twitter. Email me mattgeorgesports@gmail.com or leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. And check out the D'Lo and KC show on ESPN 1320, noon to 4 o'clock, Monday through Friday. Phenomenal show. They have a lot of great fun conversations about the Kings, about the Niners, about all professional and collegiate sports. Go and check that out. I really think that you will enjoy their radio show. If you do not already, you're truly missing out. And you don't have to live in Sacramento to listen to it. You can hear it on the Odyssey app at any time as well. Looking forward to having you join me on the next episode of Locked On Kings. Can't wait for that. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.